Okay, we are doing Yehoshua Perek Yud Aleph as we continue the travels and the conquerings of Am Yisrael. In this Perek, we read about Yehoshua ben Nun after conquering the southern part, or the middle part of Israel today, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, the armies who tried to fight the Givonim, and Yehoshua ben Nun came to the rescue, obviously with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's help. Now we get to the northern conquerings. We have the story of Yavin, the king of Chatzor, which seemed to be the main area at that time, went to a couple of other kings and said, we have to fight Am Yisrael, we all have to get ready because they are taking over this whole land. And Hashem again says to Yehoshua, don't be scared, Al tiram mipneihem. At this time tomorrow, I will give them all in your hands. But here there is a unique tzivui, which we have to talk about. Hashem says to maim their horses, es to sehem to aker, make sure the horses aren't used again, and burn their chariots in fire. As not chariots of fire, make the chariots into fire. Markavo sehem tisrof paesh, burn them in fire. Yeshua comes, and that's what he does. He fell on them, and he destroyed them. He caused them to run to here, to there, and he did exactly what he was supposed to do. Yeshua then comes to the cities. After defeating the armies outside the cities, he destroys all the cities, and Chatzor, he surrounds and he destroys. He destroys the booty and the people, all the kings, Lachad Yehoshua v'yakem l'fichar v'achrim osam, right, Akiyim of Losachaya kol neshama, doing all of the what he is required to do based on what it says in the Torah. And the Perek says, just like Hashem commanded Moshe, so too Moshe told Yeshua. Yeshua didn't leave anything out. And it lists off all the lands that Yeshua took, some of them interesting names, which we'll see Be'ez Hashem soon. Pasuk Yudches, Yamim Rabim, Asa Yeshua is called Mlachim Ha'ela Milchama. Many days he waged war. So we know, what is many days? At least 7 years. 7 years, as we call them, Sheva Shekivshu, Sheva Shechilku. 7 years of battles, which we're in those prakim now. And then we're going to have the prakim of the 7 years of splitting up the land, the 14 years. So it was many years. And the Pasuk also adds, Lo Ha'isa'ir, there was not one city that made peace with Am Yisrael except for the Givonim. As if to say they could have made peace. This is where Chazal get it from, that Yeshua sent letters out before they came into Eretz Canaan, saying, please, feel free to leave, feel free to subjugate yourselves to the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, or feel free to fight. And it says that nobody else took up the offer except the Givonim. They were the only ones. And the Perek ends off by saying Yeshua went out and also destroyed the giants. The giants that used to live in Eretz Canaan at the time. Remember that we know it's the giants from the story of the Meraglim. The Meraglim came back and said, the giants, oh, we can't go there, it's scary. But this Perek says that Yehoshua was able to destroy the giants from Hebron, Kalar Yehuda, and after all of these battles, the Perek ends off, Va'aretz shakta mimelchama. The land was rested. Rested, shakta mimelchama. No more war, at least for the time being. Okay, let's get into some of the details of this Perek, which continues the battles that Yehoshua ben Nun won. But again, we might ask, why can't it just say, the Navi just says, okay, he won all the battles. The fact that it goes through psukim after prakim means that there's messages for us to learn, even though it seems repetitive and just lists of names. There must be messages for us to glean from these psukim. So that's how we try to study Tanakh with a fine-tooth comb, and we start off. Ayehi, Kishma Yavin Melech Chatzor, back to Pasuk Aleph, when the king of Chatzor heard. What did he hear? He hears that Am Yisrael is going step by step, beating the kings that came to defend Givon. What happened in Yericho? What happened in Ai? He's getting nervous. Vayishlach, El Yovad Melech Madon, El Melech Shimron, he sends to all these other kings, and he sends Haknani, Mimizrach Umiyam, Vemori, Chiti, Prizi, Yavusi, all these armies gather together, Be'eretz HaMitzpah, in the land of the Mitzpah, Pasuk Gimel. So the Radak notes that's an area that's going to come up later in the story and Sefer Yehoshua. Not clear whether it's all going to be the same place, but it seems like, says the Radak, that they built a Mizbeach there. Doesn't say that, but they must be able to Mizbeach there because they're going to come back to it again and again. But either way, they gather, and Hashem tells Yehoshua in Pasuk Vav, Altira Mipnehem, Ki Machar Ka'es Hazos, Anochi Nosin Es Kulam Chalolim Lepnei Yisrael. Tomorrow at this time, here's the Pasuk. There's two or three discussions of this parak that the Rishonim have. Es Susehem Ta'aker. Their horses, you shall be me'aker. So what does the me'aker mean? Somehow make them that they can't walk anymore. Susehem ta'aker, uproot their horses. Doesn't say to kill them. Sabrut their horses. Ves markavosehem sifrof tisrof ba'esh, and their chariots you shall burn in fire. Why is this? There's never a tzivui like this in all of the battles that Am Yisrael fight. Here Hashem tells Yoshua, you have to get rid of their horses, not kill them, just maim them, so to speak, and markavosehem, and destroy their chariots. Says the Malbim, this is the first battle that will be purely natural. Bederach ha-teva. Yericho wasn't teva. I wasn't teva, wasn't natural. And the battle they just fought with the Givonim, there were big rocks coming down from Shemayim, wasn't teva. This is the first battle of teva. Hashem wants to instill into us the message that you don't win by teva. All battles are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You think it's the great horses? It's not the great horses, right? We say it in Davening, and we say it in Tehillim. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, we say it every Shabbos morning, in Perek Lamed Gimel. Ein hamelach nosha barov chayo. A king does not win based on his army. Gibar lo yinatzel barov koach. The strong doesn't win by being stronger. Sheker hasus litshua. Horses are the symbol of strength, of salvation. What does it say about the king? The king can't have too many wives, too much money, or too many horses. So again, one reason is because horses come from Egypt, and you don't want the Jews to go back to Egypt. But also, horses symbolize strength. And for the king to have too much strength, too many horses, as if to put all his strength into the horses and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's inappropriate. That's what it says when it says in Tehillim, David HaMelech, Sheker Hasus L'Shua Uvrov Chelo Lo Yemaleit. And in the great battles, you won't escape based on the number of horses that you have. We say it in the Halulukas also, right? Don't trust in the horses. So, said the Malbim, Hashem wanted Am Yisrael to realize this in the first natural battle. Don't think, your army is greater than their army. You take their horses, their thousands, hundreds of thousands of horses, and have them, and do something to them to show that you're more powerful than them, so to speak. It is not because, of anything natural. The Radak also says this, if you look in the Radak, on the pasuk as Hussein Ta'aker, says the Radak, Shahayu agayim nilchamim bahem, ubatchu berechbam. The other nations, they had trust in their horses, that they're going to win because of all of these chariots and horses. Ki ra velo yadu, ki sheker hasus l'shua, as we just quoted. V'Yisrael belo rechev esus, b'nei Yisrael without chariots, without horses, nitzchum. V'yipilum chalolim ki l'shem atashua. Because Hashem is the Savior, Lefichach, Lo Ratza Akel Yisbarach Sheyavozu Yisrael Amasusim VaMerkavos. Hashem didn't want the Jews to take in the battle spoils, the horses of the enemy. Kedei Shelo Yiftchu Behem. So you don't come to trust in them like your enemy did. Veim Yachshuv Belibam Ki Amasusim Yasu Melchavos. Now we got their horses. Now we're going to win. No. You're going to win without their horses. You won without their horses, and you can win without their horses. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and don't think that there is anything natural about this situation. There is a story that's told over about the in the days of the 1800s, that some of the maskilim, some of those who focus maybe on the intellectual elements of Torah, but without the obligatory elements of Torah, right? They would be Machal Shabbos and sit there with a block of Mara, right? So they say that the Chazal tell us that before the Am Yisrael went out to battle, so there was a Meshurach Bechama which would give a pep talk to Am Yisrael and say, you have to be strong, you could do it, but if anybody just built a house and didn't get to live in it yet, you could go home, because you're not going to be able to be focused on the battle. And if anybody did this, anybody did that, you just planted a vineyard, you could go home. And if anybody has any other reason, you're scared, go home. Chazal say, what does it mean scared? If somebody's scared from the Aveira Shebiyadam, they don't think that they have great schuyos to fight for Klal Yisrael, so they could also go home. You don't say that explicitly because you don't embarrass anybody. You say all these other things so people can leave and nobody will notice that it's there, that it's because of Averis. So the question is, who's left on the battlefield? Anybody who's scared of the Aveira Shebiyadam, who's left? Just the Shagas Aryeh. So the story goes, just Reb Chaim, just the Beis HaLevi, just these old men with white beards are the only ones left on the battlefield. And they say that they used to put on the way I heard the story was that they put on a Purim skin in one of the yeshivas, and this is the joke, that the only people left on the battlefield are these old men with white beards walking on canes. Fine. So they say they tell Reb Chaim, or they told one of the Rosh Yeshivas about this story, and the Reb Chaim says, it's exactly right. It's exactly what's going to happen. They just didn't do the last part of the story. That these Rabbanim, they won the battle. They won it. Why? Because Sheker Asus L'Shua. It's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the first fight that we fought, all natural, Am Yisrael, the first fight in the history of the Jewish people that we fought naturally. Amalek wasn't natural, right? All the battles before in the Torah weren't natural. And here in Yoshua, up until Perek Yud Aleph, they're not natural. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is miraculous in the, does miracles for us in the battles. Perek Yud Aleph is the first one that's Teva. So the Malbim emphasizes, and the Mefarshim explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to remember that there's nothing Teva about any Milchama that we are in. The Malbim does add one other line. Two discussions we have to have. He mentions one of them. The Malbim says, they didn't kill the horses, because that just would have been baltashkes. That would have been destroying something productive that you're not allowed to do. We know there's an Issa D'Oraisa in Parsha Shoftim of baltashkes. We usually think of baltashkes as just, oh, throwing out good food. That's what we hear our parents tell us. You know, baltashkes, you have to finish your plate. No, but baltashkes is a much larger discussion. Baltashkes is destroying anything that is usable. So the Malbim, so the Radak here says, they weren't told to kill thee, v'lo amar lahargam derech hashchasa, ki asa lahashchasa nevraim, im lo litzarech ola eser mana. You're allowed to do something in order to, for a constructive purpose. So here, you'll still see the horses, but you'll see they're not powerful. That's going to teach you the message of what I want you to remember about battles, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is, though, in general, the sugya about Tashkos, where's the the source of it, the context in the Torah, where Batashkos is described, that is, of course, the psukim in Shoftim about cutting down fruit trees. The Torah describes that when you encircle and besiege a city, you're not allowed to cut down the fruit trees. Don't cut down the trees. You're not allowed to cut down fruit trees. The Rambam, when he quotes the Isser of Baal Tashchis, he says, anything destructive, I just destroy things for no reason. I take good cups and plates and anything destructive, and I just break them for no reason. That's an Isser of Baal Tashchis. Is it D'Oraisa? Is it the Rabbanan? So that's a discussion. The Rambam says, it seems to say that much is included D'Oraisa, but then the last line he ruins it. He says first, V'lom b'matzar bilvad, ela b'chol makom, kala kotzeitz ilan machal derech hashchas alokef. If you cut down any fruit tree, it's usser. And then he says, V'lo ha'ilanos bilvad, ela kala meshaber kalim. Anybody who breaks things, v'korea b'gadim, or rips things, v'horeis binyin, u'ma'abin ma'achalos, De'ahashchasa over about tashchas. You get about tashchas for all of these. He says you're only going to get malchus for trees. So there seems to be some difference between fruit trees and other items, even according to the Rambam, but that's the Isser of Baltashkes in the Psukim. There are two different ideas in the Mefarshim behind Baltashkes. And that's the reason why we didn't kill the horses, says the Radak. The Pashtus of Baltashkes is Hashem gives you something to get benefit from. You're destroying it, so you're ruining that benefit that you could be getting out of it. So that's why Batashkas is aser. That's what the Nitziv says, and that's what other Mefarshim say. The Nitziv on that pasuk. The Komash Nitzrach Lahanoas Adam Mitzuveh Shelo Lahashkas. Hashem gives you something. You're like throwing it back in his face. It's inappropriate. But then there's another idea behind Batashkas, and that's the Sefer Achinuch, and it was classic Sefer Achinuch. Sefer Achinuch says, you know why you're not allowed to do Batashkas? Because it's going to make us destructive people. Forget the hanah that we're losing, that we're not going to be able to get a bit from it. If we spend our day destroying things, that's going to affect who we are. It's going to affect and be mashpia on my personality, my spiritual personality. Hashem wants us to be constructive beings and positive beings, not just destroying things. He says, Shorash mitzvah yadua, l'lamed nafshenu le'ehov atov v'hato'eles ulihidavek bo. Omitokach tizbak banu atova v'narchik mikol dav hara. Mikol dav hara shchasa. He says, the greatest tzaddikim and chasidim, they couldn't even hurt a fly. You hear the stories that the tzaddikim, we have no problem. There's a fly bothering us, boom, we kill it. But there are some great people that are so sensitive they can't even do that. That's the second message of Baal Tashchas. Again, a big discussions in the postgame about this sugya, but not for now. That's number one. The other point to mention about this sugya, and that is that's brought up by the Musar Hanavim and others. Is it painful for the horses? Judaism also has another value, not just Baal Tashchas, but something called Tzar Baalei Chayim. Not let it put torture animals. Not let it make animals in pain. So is this making animals have pain? Be ma'akir them? It sounds like a little bit. So the answer to that is A, maybe not. Maybe it's not. Who says it's painful? And number two, Tzar Baalei Chayim is mutter when there is a tzarech gadol for Am Yisrael. Right, are you going to be mechal Shabbos for an animal? D'oraisa. Am I allowed to drive, get into a car and drive because my animal is suffering? The answer is no. You can't be Mechal Shabbos for an animal. Maybe it's a Rabbana, not a D'oraisa. The post can discuss it. I'm not posking now. But it's not so clear. Not so clear. That so again, there are higher values. There are higher values. We're not allowed. We believe in Tzar Balei Chaim, meaning we believe that it's usser. Right? You're not allowed to be involved in Tzar Balei Chaim, causing animals to suffer. But when there's a greater good for human beings, so that takes precedence. And therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that the greater good of having Am Yisrael believe that he's behind all wars, and this one time in history, you have to do this, the first time in history, then that overrides. That overrides, because that is a greater good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels we need this message. Okay, let's continue. There's more about Tzar Balei Chaim, but we will continue now. And we'll get back to that if there is... actually, just mention it right now. Rav Asher Weiss notes that the Gemara mentions the concept of Tzar Balei Chaim a number of times, but never brings a source for it. Does that, where in the Torah does it say not to torture an animal? So, it's logical, obviously. But there are 10 different pshatim given to what the source is. V'racham aval kol ma'asov. Hashem is rachmanis on all his creations. Or others say it's the by Bilam. When the donkey turns to Bilam and says, why are you hitting me? Right, so that's the source, that the Bilam is not supposed to be hitting the donkey. There's a mitzvah of Tina and Prika. If I see an animal suffering, I have to unload the animal to remove its suffering. That's the source of Tzar Balei Chaim. Others say, as Halacha Moshe Misinai. All different suggestions. Says Rav Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher in a couple of his svarim. What's the message? Why are there so many sources? The reason is because there's really no source. The source is Ratzon Hashem. This is obviously what Hashem wants us to do. Obviously, right? If you read the whole rest of the Torah, then that torturing animals is obviously wrong. If there's a greater good, as we just said, that might take precedence. But this is what one example of what he calls Ratzon Hashem. Okay, so this is why the Sivi is given here specifically by the first natural war that Am Yisrael has to fight. So they go, and Yeshua does exactly what he is supposed to do. And he fulfills even the mitzvah related to the horses. And what happens? They take all the shalal, and they gather it, right? This is not like Yericho, where Yeshua said off limits. No, they take all the spoils. Pasuk Yudalid, the Koshtal Harima, Elav Abema, buzzes with Lembed Israel. They gathered it and they took it. Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe Avdo, Kein Tziva Moshe es Yehoshua. Just like Hashem told Moshe, so too Moshe told Yehoshua. V'chulu. Interesting. This pasuk is brought up in Yevamos. Yevamos Tzadik Vav. There was one of the Amoraim. One of the Amoraim was very upset that one of his Talmidim quoted something and didn't quote him by name. Didn't quote him by name. It's like, what is that guy? That guy's quoting things. It's like it's as if it's his Torah. It's as if it's his Torah. It's my Torah. Get very upset that he didn't quote him by name. So one of the Amoraim says back by quoting this pasuk. Quoting this pasuk, Yevamos Tzadik Vav Mevase. He says, quotes this pasuk. He says, everything that Hashem told Moshe, Moshe told Yeshua, and Yeshua did. Do you think that every time Yeshua did everything in history, Moshe told me to do this, Moshe told me to do this, Moshe told me to do this? No. No. Yeshua acted for himself. But you know what? Everybody realized that everything Yeshua did came from Moshe. He didn't have to say it. It's obvious that when you have a Talmud and a Rebbe, almost everything that the Talmud does comes from the Rebbe, even without saying it. So don't worry about it. Even though your Talmud did it, so, you know, it's obvious that it came from you. And he got nechama, he got comforted like that. But he quotes our pasuk to prove that. Right? But why was he so upset, though? So what, he didn't get the credit? There's an idea with Matzio Solomon in one of his essays, has an idea about the godless of what it says in Pirkei Avos, that to always quote things by name. Kala Omer Davar B'Shem Amro Mevi Geula La'olam. Why is that so crucial? Why is that Mevi Geula La'olam? If I quote somebody by name, I bring redemption. Why is that so crucial? So he says, it's what does Omer Davar B'Shem Amro mean? What does that reflect? Part of a larger piece. It reflects that I realize that I'm not the center. I realize that I'm just a pawn. I am just a tool that I'm being used. I'm taking something that I know, I'm using something that I heard, and I'm quoting it to you. But I realize that I'm not the center and I'm not the root of everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that and says, that's what Geula is. If you are that type of person, someone who doesn't take the credit, you're going to bring the Geula, maybe Geula La'olam, that's going to bring Geula, because that's what Geula is. Geula is HaKadosh Baruch Hu using persona in Jewish history to be able to bring the Geula through their hands. But that's interesting. The Gemara here in Yevamos quotes our pasuk relating to that story. Let's continue. Vayikach mot Yoshua es kol aretz hazoz. Yeshua takes the aretz and the Negev, and look at pasuk tezayin. The eis kol eretz hagoshen. And he also takes eretz Goshen. Eretz Goshen. Eretz Goshen. We know Eretz Goshen. Eretz Goshen's in Mitzrayim. That's where the Shvatim stayed when they were in Egypt. Eretz Goshen, Parshas Vayigash. So the Radakir has two opinions. One opinion is that it's a different Eretz Goshen. That's the Pashtus. Also, it's an Eretz HaGoshen here, not Eretz Goshen. So Pashtus is a different one. But then he quotes a Drash, Ubidrash, Ki Ayagoshen Shel Eretz Mitzrayim. This was the same Eretz Goshen, even though we're talking about the very difficult. We're talking about the northern part of Israel now. And this is the Goshen. Mitzrayim is all the way down south. This is the same Goshen. But there's a medrash that says that. And that's where Yehuda went. Lahoras Lafan of Goshna. He was Zochet to this land. Got to work it out. The Mefarshim are very bothered by this medrash, that this could be the same Eretz Goshen as what happened in Egypt. But either way, it's the same word. The Shach, in his commentary on the Torah, quotes this. The Kamotzi Shal Rav quotes the Shach on the Torah. That quotes this medrash. He says, "Ves Yehuda shalach lefanav shenishtalcha ritzua me'eretz Yisrael l'goshen va'osa ritzua isa ne'elemes shalo isa no das el Yaakov l'banav." Only Yaakov and his children knew that this part of Mitzrayim was really part of Eretz Yisrael, and that's why they wanted to stay there because they were at Eretz Goshen. V'Yaakov avinu lo nichnas ba'aver chus la'aretz. Yaakov never went to Eretz Yisrael. They went to Eretz Mitzrayim. It's pashas against the psukim. He went to visit Paro. He went to, okay, Elazar Ritzuah Shlaritz Yisrael, Miskapelas Valechas Lafanav. It was like Goshen magically moved with him wherever he went. Okay, something mystical. But this is the Eretz Goshen that's being referred to. If you look in Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in the Amos Yaakov on Vayigash, he says Eretz Goshen might just mean something very fertile. It's a type of land, not a name of a land. And that's what you can have it in both places. Eretz Goshen means they captured all the fertile lands that were in the area. Okay, that's Eretz Goshen. We continue one or two more points. So what happens? Pasuk Yudches Yamim Rabim Asa Yoshua Kol Malchem Eila Melchama. He fought for many days. He fought these kings for many days. Rashi and the Radak. Where the Radak will read it from quotes a Chazal that seems very troubling. What does it mean? Many days. Says the Medrash Tanhuma. Yehoshua bidafka delayed. Hashem says, you'll win tomorrow. But he took it slow. He did this battle and then he took it slow. Why'd he take it slow? Says the Medrash. Yeshua said, Hashem told me, you're going to defeat all the kings. That's your job. So Yeshua says, after I defeat all the kings, my job will be done and I'm going to die. You know what? If I delay fighting the kings, so then I'm going to live longer. And therefore he delayed fighting the kings. And that's why the Medrash says, Yeshua, you think you're so smart? No. It's not going to work that way. And that's why, how long did Yeshua live? 110. He got 10 years taken off of his life. He's so much worried about Arichas Yamim. Just listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. He says you're going to do this, you got to do it as quickly as possible. You don't try to delay. That's the Medrash. The Medrash ends off with the Pasuk in Mishlei. Rabos Machshavas Belevish, Atzas Hashem Itakum. You can think about whatever you want. The Machshavas of Hashem will stand. The Shaila is, we're talking about Yeshua ben Nun here. We're talking about Moshe Bittus Talmud. He said, oh, I want to live longer, so I'm not going to listen to Hashem. I'm going to delay. Come on. We're talking about Yeshua. How could that be? So the answer that many Mefarshim give, the Musar HaNeviim, all the Bali Musar talk about this, is that Yeshua really had good intentions. What is that? Yeshua knew. We're going to read about this in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. Yeshua knew that as long as he lives, Bnei Yisrael are going to follow Hashem. After he dies, they're going to stray. So he says, I want to live as long as I can so I could keep Bnei Yisrael in check as long as I can. Maybe then I could save them from going off the derech after I die. That's really what his intention was. Yes, he didn't want to die, but it was really l'shem shamayim. But that's why Yeshua had good intentions. Ultimately, though, he was still punished for it. Why? Because we don't make cheshbonos when it comes to mitzvahs of Hashem. Hashem tells us to do something, we do it. He said, oh, Hashem told me, but I'm going to delay to help. No. We don't make cheshbonos. What does this remind us of? The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, you remember the story, he's on his deathbed, and Yeshayahu comes to visit him and says, Chizkiyahu says, why am I dying? Yeshayahu says, because you didn't have kids. Chizkiyahu says, but I see in the future that my son is going to put Avodah Zarah into the Beis HaMikdash. Menashe, he's going to be terrible. Yeshayahu says, that's not your business. You do the mitzvah. You have mitzvah pruvu, don't make cheshbonos about, oh, if I do the mitzvah, it's not going to work. Just do the mitzvah. So that's what the punishment for Yeshua ben Nun. He had great intentions, but just do the mitzvah. That is exactly what he should have done, and that is why he was punished, at least according to Chazal. Just finishing up now. Lo Hai Sa'ir, there was not one city that made peace with Yeshua except for the people of Givon, and the last pasuk says, why? Not the last pasuk, Pasuk Chaf. Kime'eis Hashem Aisa. This was from Hashem that nobody else made peace. Why? Let's look at this lashon. L'chazek et libam l'gras ha-melchamas Yisrael. He hardened their heart in order to allow them to be destroyed, in order that Yeshua does his job. Hardened his heart? It sounds like Paro. It's exactly the same thing. The Rambam quotes this in Hilchos Shuvah. When the Rambam describes in Hilchos Shuvah in Perek Vav that some people are so evil, some people reach such a low level that Hashem could remove their koach of doing tshuva. That is the power of chait. Somebody can reach such a low level that even though it's screaming at them in the face, like Paro, let my people go. But he was so bad, Hashem didn't let him do tshuva. That's the Rambam shot. There are other pshatim, but that's the Rambam shot. And the Rambam quotes three examples in Tanakh. Where do we see that Hashem hardened people's hearts? So the famous one was Paro. But here we have another one. Now we learned another one. Say for Yeshua. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that he hardened his heart. V'chein sichon l'fi avono shehayu lo nischaivu l'mano mitshuva. As Hashem, that it says in Devarim, ki ikshah Hashem lokechas ruchov v'meisah l'vavo. V'chein kenaniim, that's us, l'fi to'avo sehem, because of their abominations, mona mehena tshuva, atcha osu melchamem Yisrael, sheneemar ki meisah Hashem ha'isah l'chazeket libam l'krasa melchama. So our pasuk in Yeshua, it's quoted there in Hilchos Shuvah, part of Hashem's divine plan to be monea them from doing tshuva. Okay, and at the end of the parak, we mentioned that Yeshua defeats all the giants, and the last three words, v'haretz shaktami milchama, and the land rested from milchama. Just one little cool thing, the targum on this pasuk of shaket, shakta, the targum translates that as shadcha, shiduchin. Marriage is supposed to bring somebody to menucha, to ultimate tranquility. That's when the goal of marriage is supposed to be. When a person's alone, they can't deal properly with life. When we're with a spouse, so that's shiduchin. That's the targum on the word shakta. Ultimate sheket is achieved when we have a beautiful marriage relationship. Okay, we'll stop here. Hashem, we will continue next time with the continuation of the Milchamas.